Right, this is probably going to be short and sweet. Because I'm not really a preacher, but when our dad was ill, I thought I'd help him out. So we're going to start our Bible reading from Acts chapter 1. And I will start at Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come, also come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Amen. So as it's Ascension Sunday, I thought we'd look at this this chapter together just for a few minutes. It probably won't take too long. But I tried to imagine myself how the disciples must have felt. We were talking about this in Sunday school this morning, trying to put ourselves in their shoes. Because for 3 years, or possibly a bit more, for roughly three years, they had followed Jesus. They had left everything. They had left their houses, their jobs, to follow this man Jesus. And they saw some wonderful things. Jesus taught them about the kingdom of God. They saw wonderful miracles. They saw dead people rise up, blind people see, deaf people hear, and you know the things. And I think it's John's gospel says there's so many more things that happened that weren't even written in the Bible. So they saw some wonderful things. And Jesus also told him that he was going to die and he was going to rise again. But I can imagine at this point, certainly at Jesus' death, they must have felt very abandoned. They must have felt, you know, what was this Jesus all about? You know, here he is hanging on a cross, and they all ran away and left Jesus, or most of them ran away and left Jesus, and the disciples must have thought that, you know, everything had come to a sudden stop and they had been totally abandoned. But of course it wasn't so. Jesus rose from the dead. He spent another 40 days with them. And they was in this situation here that we find on Ascension Day, while he was talking to them, Jesus was going up in the air. Not something you see every day. I don't suppose any of you have seen that. It was quite an experience, and I can imagine the emotions that must have been going through them, because Jesus was actually going away, but at the same time they was witnessing this wonderful sight. They probably couldn't believe what they were actually seeing. And then of course we get the part where the angels say, "Why are you gazing up into heaven?" Which is quite a strange statement to say when you've just seen someone float up in the sky. But I can imagine they would have felt abandoned and alone. And I was thinking about that, and I was talking to the children this morning this morning about that, because sometimes we can feel like that. I mean, we can pretend as Christians, you know, that we're so good and everything's hunky-dory and, you know, life is wonderful. But the reality of it is that sometimes we get fed up. Unless I'm talking just to myself, I don't know. But sometimes we feel a bit alone. And sometimes we feel that, you know, things aren't going right. And, you know, we are after all human. And Christians that tell you that they never have had a bad day or never anything that's gone wrong in their life are probably not being, I'm on the pulpit now, aren't I? So truthful. Yeah, that's a good word. They're not being totally honest with themselves. But the problem is, when we feel like that, also that feeling can cloud our judgment of things and can also tend to cloud what's really happening, because the disciples would have felt like this, and yet they were going to receive the Holy Spirit. And it's the same with us. We have the Holy Spirit. We're all born again here. We have the Holy Spirit living inside us. And in that way, God will never abandon you. Do you know what I mean? Because he's living actually with us. And sometimes, you know, things get in the way in our life. Some things, maybe not even our own fault. Other times it is totally our own fault. That can block things, you know, between us and the Lord. And that can sometimes make us feel that God's disappeared or God's gone off and he's left us, or, you know, whatever, where is he? Why aren't my prayers being answered? And, you know, all that kind of stuff. And in fact, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit's living within you. He hasn't gone anywhere. It's just that we're not feeling, or we can't feel his presence because of the things that are happening in our life. And so we come on to the Holy Spirit, which of course Dad will probably be speaking about in, was it next week or the week after? Sometime anyway soon. And the Holy Spirit and the Pentecost and that, there's a lot of rubbish, can I say, talk about the Holy Spirit and what goes on in the name of the Holy Spirit today. Goldie's mentioned some things probably already about the apostasy and you know, things like that go on probably in the name of the Holy Spirit. Because what we have today is people going after feelings probably rather than the knowledge of what God's Word says, as what Goldie said earlier. You know, if we don't feel it, it's not real. You know, we're really going on for that. But and that happened, I was thinking about that with salvation as well. I mean, some of us here, when we got saved, we might have had a wonderful experience, might have felt all tingly or whatever happens like that. But some of us might not have felt like that. We might have just felt that we're forgiven. We might have not felt anything. Because what happens is not based on how we feel, it's based upon what God's Word says. And God's Word says we'll repent from our sins, then we're saved. Whether or not we get a tingly feeling or we feel all wobbly or whatever people may feel, you know, we have to go by what God's Word says. And we go on to, of course, the fact that the angels actually said that this same Jesus is going to come back again. And I know we have a lot of teaching in this church, and I praise God for it, about the Lord coming back and the rapture. And it's something that I don't think people in this church probably really quite realize how blessed you are by having that kind of teaching in this place, because there'll be a lot of places around who will not get you, will not hear that at all. And I'm sure Abby won't mind me saying this, when I'm not trying to pick on any other church, but she was on a phone call to her mum, and apparently a pastor at a church that will remain nameless was preaching on Daniel and some of the prophecies in Daniel, and even Abby's mum to her said, this pastor just did not have the foggiest idea what he was talking about. He said he's preaching on it, and it was like, oh, this might happen, that might happen, this is a bit like, I think this, you know, and he really just did not have the foggiest idea. And I'm not just picking on one place, because I'm sure you'll probably find that as you go around, or, you know, it's all over the place. So we are really, really blessed here to be able to have that kind of teaching, and the teaching of the truth of God's word as well, because, as Goldia said earlier, there's so much rubbish going on in this world. Sue puts things on the Facebook group and that quite often, and, you know, some of these weird and wacky things that come out, you wouldn't believe your eyes of what's going on. It's just like amazing. But it does go on, and people fall for it every single time. And then when the next new thing comes up, off they go again to follow that. And the next thing, you know, they get bored with one thing, and the next thing comes up, and it just goes on and on and on. So, I mean, to that end, I'm grateful, and I'm so glad that Jesus is coming back. And I hope you are too, because I am a bit sick and fed up of this world, to be honest. We've had all this political thing going on this last few days as well, and you're supposed to vote for one party over another party, and they're all just as bad as each other, so no one has a clue what to do anymore, because they haven't got the answer, because the answer is in here. And most people, you know, they might come to your door and tell you that they're Christians, but they still have to toe the line and things, and they will compromise. So I'm sick of the politics of this world. I'm sick of this, the way things are done, all the things that go on in government and all that. I'm just fed up with it, and I want to get out of here. I'm fed up, as Goldie said earlier, with the errors in the church. You know, I mean, say we're kind of sheltered here, but I know many of you have come out of churches who are actually sitting here today. You've come out of places like that. So, I mean, I've led probably what you call a sheltered life, because I've been here for... Well, Tony knows. I've been here when I was... He knew me when I was about this big. Well, I haven't blown that much, probably a bit lower than that. So, I mean, I've led a sheltered life, and sometimes I think, well, I haven't seen all these exciting things and that, but then I think, praise God, I haven't really, because the Lord has kept me here, and I should be, you know, on my knees thanking and praising Him every day that He's kept me safe through these things, and I'm really grateful. And the other thing, which is closer to my heart, that the church is veering off of now, and certainly the world has gone way off, is the creation story. Now, I love the creation, so I believe, you know, explicitly in the first sort of 12 chapters of Genesis, how the history of the world, and I believe everything. I believe in the flood, I believe in the creation, the Tower of Babel, how we got everything, is all the answers are there. And yet we get so many Christians now fighting over, you know, whether it was in 6 days, whether it was 6 billion years, and, you know, what the Bible says, and the Bible is true. And I believe right from the beginning to the end, because the problem is, if we don't believe the very first part of the Bible, then we don't stand much hope for God's word. And what can we trust in the word of God? And I'll just read to you the first part of the Bible, because I read this quite often. And it also shows, of course, the mighty power of our God. And this is who's living within us by His Spirit. Let's just read a couple of verses. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I mean, can we really understand what, you know, well, that's in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He could have, I mean, why He took 6 days to do it, we'll never know, because He could have done it in a couple of, well, seconds, less than seconds. You know, and one of the best verses in the Bible, I think, that shows the almighty power of God is one of my favourite verses in the Bible, and it's so favourite, I can't remember what one it is. It's here somewhere. Where is it? There we go. Verse 16. And it's just the five words there, halfway through verse 16. It says, "Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night." And after that, it says those 5 words. And we miss over that so many times, but it says, "He made the stars also." As if it's just like, by the way, God made the stars. And if anyone of you is interested in astronomy and stuff like that, you'll be amazed at all that can be put in those five words, because the universe, the stars and everything is absolutely incredible, and the size and the number of stars and everything is absolutely amazing. I mean, they just tell us, if you counted every grain of sand in every sea and every desert, you could times it probably by about 100, and you still might only get halfway there to the number of stars there are in the sky. And God made that in our Bibles in 5 little words. So that just shows the power of God, and it's absolutely amazing. But the church is missing a lot on this because they're not believing it. And as I said, what's more important is the fact that if you just take out one chapter of the Bible or one page of the Bible, then the whole of God's word then becomes unreliable. And then how do we know that John 3:16 is true? Or how do we know that Jesus is coming back? If we can't trust, we either trust all the Bible or the whole lot becomes untrustworthy and we cannot ever be sure where we are in the Lord. And that's very, very worrying. I mean, I'm not saying that I understand all the Bible. I'm sure there's many of you here who probably know a lot more of the Bible than what I do. But nevertheless, that's beside the point. I have to stand on God's word and I have to believe what it says, even if I don't understand it. I have to say, well, God's word is true. So I am waiting for the rapture. I'm sure you all are. I hope you are. I really do want to be with the Lord. But in the meantime, we all have God's Spirit. If we're saved, we all have God's Spirit living in us. And while I'm here on this earth, I want to live my life to please Him. And I'm sure you all do too. We don't know how long we've got. Whether the Lord comes back very soon, or whether we die in our sleep tonight, it doesn't really matter. But it could happen now, it could happen in years to come. So we don't know. But I think of what the Lord has done for me, on the cross, and more so than the pain on the cross. But from what I read in the scriptures, when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It appears that was the time when the whole Trinity was split up. I don't think it ever happened in the whole of eternity, but God the Father turned his back on God the Son. I mean, that is, when you read in the Bible how much, the Father and the Son are one and the Holy Spirit is one, and that time what happened, and it was all done for us. Do you know what I mean? It's amazing when we look at that, the actual anguish of the cross and what happened there and what was going on between the Father and the Son. It's absolutely amazing that it was done for us, because none of us deserve it, let's be honest. None of us deserve it. And the Bible says all our best is just like filthy rags. And there's nothing we can really do in our own strength that will be anywhere near good enough for God. So we just rest in his Spirit and we trust in his salvation. And I don't want to please the Lord just because I'm forced to, but because I love him, and I'm sure that's the same with you. We love the Lord, and when we love someone, we want to try and make them happy. And if we're honest, even with partners and whatnot, we don't always get it right. Sometimes we can make them pretty angry sometimes. And we're really fed up with us. But And we don't always get it right with the Lord. We know we make mistakes. And we have to admit to that, and we have to come, you know, like you do with a spouse or with a friend, you know, we go up and almost like we make up. We say, I'm sorry, you know, please forgive me. And for some amazing reason, Jesus forgives us. You know, I mean, why? I don't know. He said, I certainly don't deserve it, but he does. And that's why I want to serve the Lord, because everything he's given us, we don't deserve. And so I just want to leave you with those few thoughts tonight. That look forward to the Lord's coming, but why we're here on earth, that's serving. That's really love the Lord. And, you know, because we don't deserve. You know, we can look around and we think, oh, that's a good Christian, or there's a good Christian, there's a good Christian. But at the end of the day, we're all in the same boat. We're all sinners saved by grace. And some of us are maybe on different levels of our journey, but we're all sinners. We're all in the same boat. We're all sinners saved by grace. Amen.